listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My former professor and New Testament scholar, Mark Allen Powell, tells the story of when Christianity found its way up into Scandinavia and Vikings were being converted into Christians. They would get baptized, but often the Vikings, when they would go down into the water to get baptized, they would hold their right hand up out of the water, because that's the hand that they used to hold their swords and fight and kill other people. And so they were willing to have their whole bodies baptized, but not that hand. They wanted that hand to continue to be an implement of destruction and death. And Mark says that today when Christians get baptized, what we do is we hold our wallets up out of the water. We get down into the water, we get our bodies baptized for Christ, but we say, "Not my wallet, not my money. That belongs to me, and it's going to stay with me." We're in our season of Ignite, and this is the time when we're challenging people, encouraging people, working to inspire people to dedicate their resources toward God's mission of life through Abiding Hope. We need your financial support. We need your generosity to do the kinds of ministries that we do. We're out there working with kids and youth and families. This is a major focus for us these days. We feel like it's only the church that's going to establish values in our young people. Where else are our young people getting the values of love and service and generosity other than the voice of the church? Your support helps us to provide care ministries to those in need, those who are struggling with health issues, with marital crises, with addiction, with suicidal ideation. There's not a week that goes by our community isn't being deployed out to care for the sick and those in need. Your support enables us to have relationships with friends in places like Haiti and India. It helps us to support Lutheran campus ministry at CSU, at CU in Northern Colorado. It helps us with outdoor ministry, where kids are immersed into camping circumstances for a week in the summer to let go of the world, turn off their cell phones, and to just focus on what it means to be children of God. Your support helps us to send our youth on servant tours every summer. Helps us with having a preschool and a nature school. The list is long, but without your support, without your generosity, we can't do any of these things. But here's the kicker. God doesn't want your money. God doesn't want your money. God wants you. God wants all of you, your whole being, your intelligence, your emotions, your relational capital, everything that you are. That's what God wants. You were created to be a child of God. You were created in the very image and likeness of God. God's fingerprints are all over you. The only thing is, God doesn't manipulate us or control us. God allows us to make our own decisions. And what God wants for us is that we choose to love. We choose to be in relationship with God, each other, and the creation. We choose to lay our lives down in sacrifice to God's mission of love and life in this world in the same way that Jesus did. And so our passage in Matthew today is one of my favorites. Jesus is in the temple. The temple leaders have been coming at him. This is the last week of his life. They've been asking him difficult questions to try to trap him, to get him to take a side one way or the other so that they can turn others against him. And so the question he gets today is it worthy of God to pay taxes to Caesar? Is it lawful, according to Jewish law, to pay taxes to Caesar? Now, this is a trick question, because if Jesus says yes, he's going to infuriate the crowds. They don't want to pay taxes, right? They don't want to have to give their hard-earned money, and they don't have a lot of it. They don't want to have to give that to Caesar. And so he also knows that if he says, no, it's not lawful, that those religious leaders are going to run right over to Pontius Pilate, the governor of Jerusalem and Judea, and tell him that this guy is against paying taxes. And they knew that the Romans then would arrest Jesus and have him killed. So they're trying to trap him. They're trying to either get the crowds against him or to get the Romans to kill him. And so Jesus is very wise. He says, let me see a Roman coin. And I brought a Roman coin with me here today to my hand. It's going to be hard for you to see it in my hand, but we're going to put the image up closer so you can take a look at that. This is a coin from 103 CE, about 70 years after Jesus was there. This is not Augustus. The head on the coin that Jesus would have seen would have been Emperor Augustus, Caesar Augustus. This is Trajanus. Trajanus was emperor at the time of the turn of the century, and he allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem after the Romans had destroyed it in 70. So some 30 years later, Trajanus takes power. He allows the Jews to return. But as you look at this coin, you can see his image on there. So Jesus says, let me see a coin, and they hand him a Roman coin, and he says, whose image is this? And they say, it's Caesar's. And he says, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. And what Jesus is implying here is, yeah, if Caesar's image is on there, give it back to him. It's his. Doesn't belong to you, it belongs to him. But at the same time, Jesus is raising the point about whose image is on us. We don't have Caesar's image on us. We don't have American president's image on us. We don't have any other image on us except for God. We're children of God. We exist to serve God's mission of life and love for the world. That's why we were created. That's our very identity. It's our very purpose. And he's trying to remind the people in the temple there about Genesis chapter 1, where it tells us clearly that we are created in the image and likeness of God. But it's not just that we look like God. That's not what he's talking about. We have God capacity within us. Who is our God? Our God is a creator God. Our God is a God of love and life. That's what God cares about. And we have within us the capacity to be aware of God, to pray, to contemplate, to study, to spend time in reflection about our relationship with God. We have the ability to communicate with God. We have the ability to make choices and decisions in our lives. And we can either use our lives for the world's purposes, which is greed and power, division, destruction. We're seeing way too much of that in our world today. Or we can use our lives for God's mission and purpose. This means that we see our resources not as things simply to use for ourselves. Of course, we have to feed our families. Of course, we have to house our families. Of course, we need to have certain things to function in society today. No question. But how much is enough? How much is enough? It feels to me that we're living in a society today where we feel like we never have enough. We're always behind the eight ball. We compare ourselves to others. We look at these billionaires around the world and we think we ought to be like them. Really? Really? If you have food, if you have shelter, if you have the things that you need for your children to function in school or in activities in the community, is that enough? Do you need bigger and more expensive? Do you really need that? Do you need to upgrade the kitchen every 3 years? Do you need that better car, even though yours is highly functional and in good shape? Do you have to take the kind of vacations that you save for 3 years and spend all this money on 1 week? Do we need to be doing those things? Do they make us better humans? Do they make us more full and complete and whole? The problem is that it's an addiction. We're addicted to wealth. We're addicted to our money. And we spend it in a way that gives us a little bit of a high, but then we collapse from that high. We need more. We need more. We need more. We call this affluenza. The only treatment is generosity. The only way out of the rat race of affluenza is generosity. Jesus said that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. Notice it's how we use our treasure that affects our hearts. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is who we're created to be. It's no accident that when we live generous lives, we feel good. It's no accident that when we live generous lives, it creates a passion and a fire inside of us to serve, to make the world better. God doesn't want our money. God wants us, all of us, complete us. God wants our hearts and our minds and our spirits, because if God has that, then God can use us to generate new life in this world. You know, after Jesus was baptized, he went out into the wilderness. I think this is a really critical point. It shows that he took being baptized seriously. When he heard the voice say, "You are my son, the beloved, with you I'm well pleased. You're my kid, I love you, and I'm proud of you." He took that with ultimate seriousness. He wanted to live a life worthy of his faith. He wanted to live a life worthy of his calling. And he went out into the wilderness and he fasted. He stripped himself bare. He had nothing. And there he was tempted. And he was tempted to use his own abilities, use whatever he had for himself. Three times he was tempted. And he said no. And then he began his ministry. Then he was ready. He had centered himself. He had oriented himself. He had prioritized himself. And throughout his ministry, he poured himself out. He didn't use his ability to feed himself when he was hungry. He used his ability to feed other hungry people. He didn't use his abilities to heal himself. He used his abilities to heal other people. Even when he was tired and needed time away, the crowds had need. He stayed to teach them, to show compassion toward them, to heal them. And even when he was arrested and beaten and humiliated and nailed on the cross, he still didn't act selfishly. He still didn't try to get things for himself or to attack on behalf of himself. He continued to love. He continued to pour himself out, even to the point of death, death on a cross. And on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead to get our attention. That's why the Christ was raised. It was to create a new humanity, to create a new day, to create a new way of life. And it's as though God said, "Were you paying attention? Did you see how Jesus lived? Did you see what he did for the sake of the world? Now imagine all of humanity doing that. Now imagine everyone being drawn into lives of service and generosity. Now imagine everyone sharing what they have with the poor, with those in need. Now imagine communities coming together and working together to tackle big problems in our world." That's what the church is called to be. We're not just an institution that dispenses religious goods and services. We're a community of people who take seriously our baptisms, take seriously our call to live as children of God, take seriously that God wants us to address the needs of the world. We can't do that if we hold our wallets out of range. How we use our resources is an expression of who we are. How we use our resources is an expression of how we trust God. And so I pray that as we go through this Ignite season, as we contemplate and pray about our commitments for 2024, that we're going to take Jesus's call seriously. You bear the image of God. You have God's fingerprints all over you. You have been created to use your gifts and resources to have impact in the world. Will you say yes? Will you respond? Together, we can make a tremendous difference in this community and around the globe. I'm in, and I hope you are too. God loves each of you, and I do too. Amen.